continuing, probably the majority of us belong to the category of decent people who were once beaten, since such treatment of children was a matter of course in past generations. Be that as it may, to some degree we can all be numbered among the survivors of poisonous pedagogy. Yet it would be just as false to deduce from this fact of survival that our upbringing caused us no harm as it would be to maintain that a limited nuclear war would be harmless because a part of humanity will still be alive when it's over. Quite apart from the culpably frivolous attitude toward the victims this view betrays, it also fails to take into account the question of what after effects the survivors of a nuclear conflict would have to face. The situation is analogous to poisonous pedagogy, for even if we, as survivors of severe childhood humiliations, we are all too ready to make light of, even if we don't kill ourselves or others, are not drug addicts or criminals, and are fortunate enough not to pass on the absurdities of our own childhood to our children so that they become psychotic, we can still function as dangerous carriers of infections. We will continue to infect the next generation with the virus of poisonous pedagogy as long as we claim that this kind of upbringing is harmless. It is here that we experience the harmful after effects of our survival, because we can protect ourselves from a poison only if it is clearly labeled as such, not if it is mixed, as it were, with ice cream advertised as being for your own good. Our children will find themselves helpless when confronted with such labeling. When people who have been beaten or spanked as children attempt to play down the consequences of setting themselves up as examples, even claiming it was good for them, they are inevitably contributing to the continuation of cruelty in the world by this refusal to take their childhood tragedies seriously. Taking over this attitude, their children, pupils, and students will in turn beat their own children, citing their parents, teachers, and professors as authorities. Don't the consequences of having been a battered child find their most tragic expression in this type of thinking? Although the general public is beginning to understand that this suffering is transmitted to one's children in the form of an upbringing supposedly for their own good, many people with whom I've spoken in the U.S. still believe that permissive methods of child rearing allow children, quote, too much freedom, and that it is this permissiveness, not poisonous pedagogy, that is responsible for the marked increase in crime and drug addiction. Even cartoons and jokes make fun of parents who have a tolerant and supportive attitude toward their children, emphasizing the dangers if parents allow themselves to be tyrannized by their children. King Solomon's mistaken belief, if you spare the rod, you will spoil the child, is still accepted today in all seriousness as great wisdom, and is still being passed on to the next generation. These attitudes, although they now take a more subtle and less apparent form, are not far removed from those quoted in the following pages to illustrate the detrimental effects of child-rearing methods. Such views have not been borne out by my many years of experience. Theoretically, I can imagine that someday we will regard our children not as creatures to manipulate or to change, but rather as messengers from a world we once deeply knew, but which we have long since forgotten, who can reveal to us more about the true secrets of life and also our own lives than our parents were ever able to. We don't need to be told whether to be strict or permissive with our children. What we do need is to have respect for their needs, their feelings, and their individuality, as well as for our own. And my comment on this, as I said last week, in bringing our focus on an analysis of the wage work system, including the critical contribution to Power's understanding of how to manipulate us, of Bentham's advice, to Alice's analysis, bringing our analysis to Alice's. I believe we are adding a critical missing piece needed to complete the puzzle of how we can free ourselves from power.